If you'll turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy.
What we're going to deal with tonight is two big time troublemakers. Two big time troublemakers. 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, and I'm going to read the first 11 verses, if you will follow while I read. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them the Lord delivered me. The two men who were big troublemakers are Jannes and Jambres. Now, if you'll turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 6. In Exodus chapter 6, we have the beginning of the account when God sent Moses to talk to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go. Let my people go. Exodus chapter 6, look at verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. There he makes his declaration. He said, Moses, now you're going to see how I work. Now you're going to see how I act. And for with a strong hand shall he let them go. And with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And he goes on now in chapters 6 through 12 to unfold to us the 12 plagues. But before we look at any of them, I want you to see something here in several verses. Look at verse 6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel. So now, you know, before he goes and talks to Pharaoh, Moses is going to talk to the children of Israel. And he says, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. Now, Moses was not claiming he was the Lord. He was taking the message to the children of Israel to say, I am the Lord hath sent me, Jehovah. And then look at what he says next. And I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. And then notice, and I will rid you out of their bondage. Look at verse 7. And I will take you to me for a people. He goes on, he says, and I will be to you a God. Verse 8, and I will bring you unto the land concerning which I did swear to give it to Abraham. Later in that same verse, he says, I will give it you for a heritage. I am the Lord. Six times he says, I will do this. And we know from having the completed scriptures, he did it. He did it. But here he is at the beginning. Moses didn't know. All Moses knew was his inadequacies, his inabilities. But God had the abilities. You've often heard it said, I'm sure, that God is not concerned with our ability. He's concerned with our availability. Because he has the ability. And then if you go and you read through these chapters in here in chapter 7 is the first plague, okay? And in verse 10, chapter 7, verse 10, is when Moses is told, take his rod in front of Pharaoh, throw it down on the floor. So he take it and he threw it down. And what happened to that rod? Turned into a serpent, that's right. So Pharaoh said, calling Jannies and Jambres, he called for, if you look at it, verse 11, then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt, okay? Now, you say, well, it doesn't say Jannes and Jambres there. No, it doesn't. But Paul did in writing to Timothy. And the same God who inspired Moses to write this inspired Paul to write what he wrote. And he identifies who they were, the two chief sorcerers, the two chief wizards, the two chief magicians. Now, they weren't the only ones. But they withstood Moses. And that's exactly what's happening here. Because Pharaoh called them. They came in. They took their rods, more than one, and threw them down also. And they turned into snakes also. You say, oh, now what do? We just watch what God does. Because Moses' serpent rod that became a serpent went and ate up all of the others. God's power is greater than Satan's power. And throughout the first several, I think it's the first five plagues, Pharaoh's sorcerers were able to duplicate what Moses did. Now, don't let your faith be shaken, because God's greater than all of them. And what we find happening is that though Jannes and Jambres were able to duplicate the frogs, boy, you ought to read these again. It's probably been a while since you did. Yeah. Read them again and see how these were. I mean, frogs everywhere. And we freak out when there's a half a dozen spiders or whatever, you know, in a room. And so They were able to duplicate the frogs, but they could not duplicate getting rid of the frogs. But God did. Okay? God got rid of them. And then the next plague that came along that was a problem was the lice. God told Moses, now just take the dust, pick up some dust, throw it in the air. And that dust thrown in the air, as it settled down, it became lice everywhere. I mean, it says not only did the people, but all of the animals had lice. Now, there aren't too many homes, but what they've experienced, a child that comes home from school, okay, or someplace, and yeah, it makes you itch, doesn't it? and they had lice. I remember when we were watching some of our grandchildren, and I don't remember where it was, but they come home with lice. And I made a trip to Olean. We lived in Shingle House at the time. I made a trip to Olean to get whatever it was you got. And I remember Pat stripping every bed, and you know what you go through when you had it. Yeah, but you couldn't get rid of these. You couldn't get rid of these. They were everywhere. But God was able to get rid of them when he was ready. And then I want you to see something. It's important. It's in chapter 8 of Exodus, chapter 8, verse 16. Chapter 8, verse 16. In verse 18, and the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. Here was the first plague they could not duplicate, you say. And you say, well, how come they could duplicate some but couldn't duplicate others? Okay. You see, some of these could be explained with some natural phenomena and happenings. But that isn't what Moses was dealing with, because they happened when Moses told them to happen, not when they just coincidentally happened and then Moses claimed them. But in this situation, God with the lice was eliminating any possibility of any kind of coincidence and natural happenings. They could not. And then look at verse 19. This is important. Then the magicians said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. Up to now, they were happy to present themselves as powerful as Moses. But when they recognized the plague of the lice, they knew that this was not Moses, just another magician. This was, he said, the finger of God. Now, what do you usually use a finger for? Just like I am.
Good.
And they could see that this was God pointing at them as a people. Oh, there's a whole lot. I'd love to just preach on the plagues, but that's not the subject tonight. The subject tonight is the two big-time troublemakers, Jannes and Jambres. Now, some extra-biblical sources. Now look, don't get excited when I say extra-biblical. That simply means some ancient writings.
That's right.
They're not biblical, but they are writings that may have taken place, and many of them did, during Bible times.
Yeah.
Or soon after Bible times, and they therein give the opinions of men about things that happened perhaps in the Bible, or definitely just things that happened historically in Bible times. Now, Jewish tradition says that these two, Jannes and Jambres, misled Pharaoh right into the Red Sea, where they died along with King Pharaoh. An ancient traveler named Macarius of Alexandria claimed that he had visited the garden tomb of these two wizards in Upper Egypt. It was an immense monument dedicated to their memory and to their great power and influence. I read another source. I don't recall what book it was in or who the author was, but it said that this monument was known for evil, and people would go there to call up demons to do whatever it is that they wished for a demon to do. It was known as a place of evil. No surprise, for the two men buried in it were evil men. Now, these two records, okay, the Jewish tradition and this ancient traveler, I cannot verify them. But there are several such ancient references to these two wizards. Some claim these two went up into Canaan with the mixed multitude. Now, that can't be proved.
No.
But people who studied into this in a whole lot more depth than I ever would, they have their reasons why and their references to scriptures, why it would be that they felt that these two didn't die in the Red Sea, but actually went up with the mixed multitude. Well, the mixed multitude was mixed.
Sure was.
Okay. And yet another person believes that they were there when Moses was up getting the Ten Commandments. And remember, he come down to the camp, and what did he hear? The noise in the camp. And the one said, it's a noise of war. And Moses said, no, that's not a noise of war. That's a noise of partying. And he got there, and what did he see? They had Aaron had gotten all of the golden jewelry, and they had a molten calf. We call it the golden calf. There are some who believe that Jannes and Jambres was there to make an influence in the creation of that golden calf. Okay? Worship of Balaam, a false god. And others say, no, that's not where it's at. They died with the sons of Korah. You remember Korah and his people? They disputed and they opposed Moses. But Moses said, now, wait a minute. And you can read this in Numbers chapter 16. And Moses said, no, wait a minute. You're questioning if what I'm doing has the authority and the approval of God. He said, I tell you what, if I don't have the authority and the approval of God, then we'll see if Korah does. And that's when you remember that the earth opened up. I think of an earthquake, okay? The earth split and it split right in the midst of Korah and his people. They all fell into it.
Right.
Now, I read one place where they felt that the earth opened in a circular manner and a funnel type manner, and they were like sucked down into it. You say, well, what do you think happened? I don't know. But I know when I have seen, and I do not watch them. But if I see, for example, the preview for a program on television, and it's showing unusual things, many times it's going to be of a funnel shape and funnel form. Whether it's an opening of the earth, or whether it's something that's coming, you know, in the skies. And so, just a little creepy to me, I'll tell you. Okay? Just a little creepy to me. But, by the way, it wasn't the fact that Korah opposed Moses. That guy's having a good ride in that bike. And it wasn't that he opposed Moses. It says in verse 30 of number 16, these men have provoked the Lord. That was the problem. Now they were speaking to Moses because they couldn't see God. And Moses was representing God, so they took out after God's representative. Things don't change much, do they? No, they don't. Now, I'd like you to go back. Oh, by the way, before we go back to 2 Timothy, or you can if you want to turn to it, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I was asked, there he goes the other way. For those of you that are listening online, we just had a motorcycle go past. It sounded like a Harley Davidson. It made a lot of noise. Okay. Now some of the folks sitting here in church, that's just music to their ears. And then to others, it's just an irritation. Okay. And I like the melody myself. Okay. Now, I was asked about Harry Potter books. Have you read the Harry Potter books? No, I haven't read the Harry Potter. Have you seen any of the Harry Potter book Harry Potter movies? No, I haven't seen any of the Harry Potter movies. And the individual just shook their head. And I made this statement. God in the Bible is against sorcery. God in the Bible is against wizards. God in the Bible is against magicians. And I have a hard time finding entertainment in things that God is against. You say, well, that's just your opinion. No, that's God's opinion. God makes it very clear in the Bible in multiple places. He is against sorcery. He is against wizardry. He is against magicians. Nothing to do with them. He says we're to avoid them. Okay? Like a plague. That might fit in with the Exodus passage we're looking at, huh? Like a plague. We're to avoid them. Why should we make entertainment? I tell you what. You come to my house and we're going to turn the TV on and you bring your family along and sit down and we're going to turn on a movie about adultery. And we'll sit there and be entertained by bedroom scenes and by a husband and wife being unfaithful and swapping wives. Bring your kids. Well, no, I wouldn't come and sit there in your living room and watch that sort of thing. I'm surprised that you would. This is what you call sarcasm. I really wouldn't do it. But if it's okay to make entertainment out of sorcery and out of wizards, oh, but they're good witches. You listen to me, and you listen to me clear. You can search your Bible from cover to cover before you'll ever find one reference on good witches, good wizards, or good sorcery. There is no such a thing. God is flat out against it. And if you can't find some other way to be entertained, then you have got too much time on your hands. And you need to clean your house, your garage, wash your car, fix everything in the honey-do list, or whatever it'll take you to be tired enough to go to bed at night and not need to be entertained. Oh, did I just hear somebody thinking, what do you have against entertainment? Not a thing. As long as it's not entertainment of what God condemns. You say, but my grandchildren. But your grandchildren need to be taught what's right and wrong. Oh, but if I say something to them. Yeah. They might be upset. But then again, I wouldn't pitch into them. Okay? You don't have to berate them. In and chew them up one side and down the other to let them know that this sort of thing is not what we should be entertained by. You could just make it very clear. And by the way, part of making it clear is that those things aren't watched on your television. Oh, I need an amen.
Amen.
All right, now we're going to 2 Timothy chapter 3. You might already be there. A while ago since I said turn to it. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8. Now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. And so it is that they are described, Jannes and Jambres, who withstood Moses, and the people he's speaking about in the earlier part of the chapter, they are described as people who resist truth, men of corrupt minds. You see, on the surface, they may be suave. They may be smooth in their talking. They may seem to have it all together. And when you watch some on television, did you hear me say some? Not every television preacher, but some, they'll seem very suave, very smooth. They'll look very good. Why, you can go to some churches in the town that you live, or if you live in the country, to a town near you. And you can go into some of them churches and everything seems so smooth and so impressive. And their manner of public speaking seems to be with such command and control. But if the truth doesn't come, and what determines truth is the scripture.
Yes, sir.
Then they are men of corrupt minds, and they are rotten to the core, and eventually it will be seen. Now be careful when you talk these things with people you know, neighbors and family members. We may describe such matters here in a rather blunt manner, but when you're talking to them, don't sugarcoat it, but neither do you have to make it with vinegar. You can just speak something factually. And if you're talking with a cousin of yours, let's say, you know, you don't have to dump the whole load on them at one time. And you can just share a little bit one time, and you'll probably see that cousin later, and you can share a little bit more. You say, oh, but I got to warn them. I've got to tell them this all at once. They might die. I don't know how many people have acted wrongly with that excuse, and they've slammed the door on themselves without ever having an influence on that relative, co-worker, friend, or whoever it may be. Just take it easy. Go slow. You say, well, what if they die? Likely you're not the first place where they've heard the truth. And so it's more important that you keep the door open so you can continue to feed them more. And thereby reach them. Now look at verse 9. But they shall proceed no further. That is, these people that he described in verses 1 through 7. And Jannes and Jambres was the example he gave. For they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men. Foolishness, their foolishness will be seen by all. You say, well, there's a lot of people I know that aren't seeing it yet. That's because a lot of people choose to follow foolishness.
Right, yes, sir.
They choose. Like I said, have you given them a scripture verse? Have you given them some scriptures? Have you given them a pamphlet to read? What have they done with it? If they've chosen to ignore it, you're saddened by that, grieved by it, understandably, but that's their choice. And your hardcore, hard pressure approach to them, and I'm not, when I say that, I don't, let me change that. A person's hardcore, hard-nosed, high-pressured approach is not going to make the difference. You know the same as I do, what it's going to do is build a wall.
That's right.
And when that wall's put up, you can't get through with anything. D.L. Moody, and with this I'm going to close. D.L. Moody was quite the preacher. And a fellow came from England. I believe his name was Morehouse. I think it was Morehouse. I'm not sure his first name. Maybe Henry Morehouse. But he was a fellow who was reached himself when he heard about the love of God. And Henry Morehouse preached only on the love of God. Yeah, John 3:16 was always his text. And I read that. It was amazing how many messages he could get out of John 3:16. It's the only text he used. And Mrs. Moody had heard Morehouse, came home and told Dwight. Yeah, I was on first name terms.
Yeah.
And he came home, she came home and told Dwight, "Sweetheart, you need to go along tomorrow night and hear Morehouse preach." Well, he wasn't impressed with what he had heard about Morehouse, and he said, "I don't have any time for that." And she kept after him, and in her wifely ways, he went along to church. And D.L. Moody became mesmerized by Morehouse's preaching on the love of God. And where I read this, it said that it changed Moody's approach to preaching. And he himself began to preach more on the love of God. There's a time and a place for hellfire and brimstone preaching. But God spends a lot more time in his sacred scriptures talking about his love. We do well to spend time in talking about God's love for people. They're very aware of their own sin, their own depravity and degradation, and there's times where we need to talk to people about that. But what they need to hear is about a God who loves them and will forgive them and wants to receive them. That's the message that then Moody began to preach. Two troublemakers. I don't think we have any of those kind of troublemakers here. I really don't. But be warned, if there is any, or anybody who'd want to become one, God will pull back the veil and it will be seen for just what it is.
Right.
Folly. Father in heaven, I pray you take the word and use it to make us stronger in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.